This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edition of Money Moves coming at you for the next 2 hours. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We're live as always in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Congrats to Jahmyr Gibbs, who is now the highest paid running back in all of National Football League history. We've had a few of those this week. But now that that is finally in the rear view, hold-in season is over and it's all ball, baby. Speaking of which, what a fun night last night's yesterday Hall of Fame game was. We got it going with a bang. Say what you want about the preseason. Say what you want about fake football. The first time that we got to see a football game on our screens going into this fall was awesome.
It was absolutely fantastic. I'm out. I can't do this. Controversy
Your
to start
the show.
Your peace
problems already.
I mean,
I gave you
somebody,
plenty of runway to
look,
figure it out, and then you still collapse.
All right, look, there is controversy here at the Vegas Stats and Information Network on a wonderful Friday. Somebody, we will not name names, lost the earpiece that I've been using for the last couple of days. And so now this one that I'm trying to use is not working.
It is very funny blaming an intern for losing an earpiece that was the replacement earpiece for you having lost your own earpiece.
I think you're the one that's naming names. As I said, I'm not naming anybody.
I didn't name a name.
You don't even know her name. But
I just said it to her a moment ago.
Placing the blame at anybody's feet of the ass that I might kiss one day, whatever it means. But I will just say that it was not my fault.
You are a nightmare host at this network. Let's get into everything that we have coming up over the course of the next couple of hours. Time to set the table like we always do.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
Since you started us off on a bad note, let's get excited for the guest that we have coming up shortly. The Palm before the Hill.
This makes no sense.
Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa, Golden Gate, and the D. He's going to come in studio in about 15 minutes before Will Hill joins us in studio in the flesh today. Very exciting.
I don't know if I want Will here, to
why?
Be honest with you.
Because you're going to be embarrassed by your bicep size?
Correct. That's actually 100% why. So I like, you know. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'm a little mad. You know, he comes out here for a couple of days. He doesn't show up until Friday. Never asked me to go lift with him or do anything. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, man. Yeah, he just has his family here. You know, he's a little bit busy. Yeah. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times, though. The video for him hosting on VSiN does not do any justice to what Will Hill actually looks like in person. So I'm excited for our television, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app audience to actually get the full Will Hill experience. He also has 5 futures plays post MLB trade deadline to give out and a best bet on the Major League Baseball card for today. So get ready. We also, as NFL training camps roll on, preseason underway, our NFL training camp tour here at Money Moves rolls on today. Our Friday stop in the Steel City after another playoff flop. Mike Tomlin got the axe, but should we expect Aaron Rodgers in his last rodeo to get Pittsburgh over the top?
Missing an apostrophe there, but I would say that I'm relatively lukewarm on the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point right now. I know that you're very high on Aaron Rodgers and his touchdown to interception ratio.
You love to take one thing I say and just needle and dig it. I said he had a top 10 touchdown interception
you
ratio.
Said he was
last
a top, you said when he was one of the best quarterbacks because he had a good touchdown interception ratio, to which my rebuttal
you
was so did
ridiculous
Justin Fields.
You're a ridiculous person.
I don't think they make the playoffs. We'll get into the reasons as to why. And unlike the Pittsburghs, I mean, the New England Patriots, which we talked about yesterday, well, the Patriots, you could at least make the argument because of, I think, the level of the improvements they made, that I'm going to be wrong on them, you know, maybe going into the win total, not winning the division, not making it to the playoffs. But I think the Steelers, not really a ton that I like, similar to what you feel about me.
That'll be a fun preview, and you nailed it with that last comment. For this last one, I'm going to channel my best Zoolander, Billy Zane, here. It's a walk-off. We had a few of those last night on the gridiron and the diamond, but let's start in Canton. Carolina down 3, JVT, 2 seconds left, 3rd and goal from the 5, and Haynes King, the undrafted free agent out of Georgia Tech, takes it himself for the walk-off touchdown win and cover, mind you, for the Panthers. Just the second win, first ever postseason cover for Dave Canales as a head coach. The total soars over as well, and you know it's football season when my husband, during the first quarter, says, "Hey, Stormy, what's the total in this?" "Oh, that's staying under. It's a lock." And then what proceeds to happen? 34 points scored in the second quarter alone. Death taxes and Hall of Fame game overs, apparently.
Yeah, that's kind of the big takeaway here. If you look at the last couple of years, now 5-0 to the over the last 5 seasons. You know, you go back over those 5 years, average total in these games has been 44 points, a far cry from what these numbers are closing at. I mean, yesterday the numbers started to creep down right before kickoff. And I don't... What do you think the reason is? I think there's a couple of different things that we could experiment with and think about. I do just think, like, hey, like, level of play in general, like, these athletes, they're just getting better and better. And so your third string guys are just pretty good players in general. And so maybe you're getting some of that. Offense before defense, you know, some of the guys when you're installing your defense, maybe you're not disguising coverages as much anymore. You know, Nate Tice the other day, I think former Wisconsin quarterback, does work for Yahoo Sports. He actually had a great thing on the Dominique Foxworth show about how defenses today are ahead of the offense in general just because they disguise coverages so much. And usually back in the day, like when Tom Brady would play, they would just give out basic like cover two, cover three, whatever like that. My whole point here being is that when you're playing in the preseason, you're not seeing any of that, right? You're not showing any of your disguise coverages because you're not going to put that on film. And so maybe because of the vanilla nature of this and the increase in the level of athlete, we're starting to see these last few years that these scores are just starting to go up.
Maybe. It seems like there are a lot of things that could potentially play into that, but obviously five straight now that we're at this point. How excited were you to see your boy Carson Beck fall out?
So, okay, I'll ask you, am I vindicated? I feel like I'm like on a, no, okay, I don't think that this means that he's going to be a starter. Let me rephrase this.
Okay.
Is it fair to say that I've been one of the few voices that have been like, you know, he could be like pretty good.
Yes.
And I think you should give him an opportunity to see what he has.
Yes.
Right. And so I think I'm vindicated in that regard. Like, he has shown that he is a competent quarterback, that he can at least run an offense. He showed that he had an arm. A couple of those throws, one of which was dropped, he put them, like, right in the breadbasket.
Yeah.
Ends up going 15 and 19 for 188 yards, 9.9 yards per attempt and a touchdown. And remember, too, because I lost this bet with Matt Humans. Justin, you'll remember this. We had this bet many years ago about I thought that Carson Beck was going to be a first-round pick. And remember, he was projected to be one at one point. Had the elbow injury, you know, career goes kind of in a different path than we expected. But the whole point here being is at one point in our lives, Carson Beck was considered to be maybe a first-round selection and a top-tier prospect. Maybe he still is that,
yeah,
and that you have something here if you're Arizona.
And I think if your leadership, looking at that performance, he did kind of put you on notice a little bit by saying, hey, you should probably start me sooner rather than later if this season ends up going the way that we all think that it's going to go for Arizona. That said, I think the odds movement overnight we have seen on him to be the offensive rookie of the year is probably a little bit aggressive. He was in the 28-30-1 range this morning. I saw as low as 15-1 out there for him to be the offensive rookie of the year. And maybe after one preseason game, we're taking that a buck too far, but yes, everything that you're saying is true. And he showed poise in the pocket, wasn't running things, taking what the defense gives him, everything that you want to see. And he was asked after the game, in fact, about kind of his expectations coming into the game and how he may have lived up to them.
I don't know. I feel like I always have high expectations of myself, but I never really have expectations of results. And I kind of talked about that a little bit of, you know, being process-oriented and not being result-oriented, but having expectations of the process that I'm going to have and the effort that I'm going to give are very high for myself. But no, it was fun, you know, getting to go play football again and guys out there making plays. And it was just good. Again, it was just good to be back out there on the field.
Is there a moment that you felt?
Love that. Process-oriented guy. That's what you want to hear from your young quarterback, right, who's trying to take the necessary steps. And again, to your earlier point, though, on Carson Beck, I will just say it's not like you're in a quarterback gauntlet type of a room, right? It's Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew that is also filling out that room.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, at the very least, like, we know what Gardner Minshew is. See you, dude.
He should definitely be second on the depth chart.
At the very
There's no
least.
Question about that.
And I think maybe part of the offense rookie of the year move, I would agree with you. In general, maybe it's a little too much because, again, Jacoby Brissett seems to be the starter. But maybe part of that also is the thought that he at least could move up the depth chart and thus have, you know, a clearer path toward playing at some point, whether it's due to injury or whether it's due to the Cardinals finally realizing maybe at some point in the season, like, like, we're kind of cooked here. Let's just throw the rookie out there and see if our middle tier pick. When was he drafted in? I can't even remember. What round was he drafted in?
I said
middle tier pick.
You know. Off the top of my head.
Either way, but what our guy has here in our rookie quarterback. So, and again, like, he's not bad, man.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's his teammate, Jeremiah Love, who we didn't see on the field yesterday, who is the favorite for offensive rookie of the year, plus 420. We had another walk-off yesterday, actually a few of them in Major League Baseball, but how about this one for the Boston Red Sox, who get it done again. They were trailing 4-0 early on the season, by the way, prior to yesterday. The Red Sox were 0-26 when trailing at trailing by four or more runs at any point in a game. They end up pulling it off yesterday. They came back to tie it up by the fifth. It was back and forth from there, down 7-6 in the ninth. Abreu comes up big with an RBI knock to force extra innings. They trade runs through 13. The Red Sox trailed at some point in 10 consecutive innings yesterday, but Caleb Durbin finishes the job, single right up the middle to walk it off, and they win an eighth straight. It was 4 hours and 23 minutes to the longest game that we have seen in the MLB season. On the day we had a football game, yep, the baseball game was longer.
You got to think that if there's markets available for manager of the year, that our guy Chad Tracy has got to be up there. The dude's, I think, 20 games over as a manager since he has taken over here for Boston. They seem to just be untouchable. They won't die. Every single one of these games, they're finding ways to answer, rally, come back. It's been incredible to watch. I mean, I kind of wish that they would stop in the sense of, like, save some for the postseason, because sure, you just can't continue to run this hot. But we'll reiterate again, their trade deadline pieces haven't even contributed yet. And they continue to do this. So this has been an incredible run. And like you said, not only that, like to try to steal the show when there's a football game on and to have this sort of a game, which arguably is like the best one that we have seen all season long. And how about the White Sox?
Yeah.
Brothers, hold on to a lead. They get multiple opportunities to win this game.
Well, actually, that leads me to another point, because the White Sox have been a pretty good team this year. Eight straight wins now for the Red Sox. 13 straight against teams with a winning record. Mm-hmm. So they're not just racking up wins against the bottom feeders and cellar dwellers of Major League Baseball. It's against good teams as well as a part of this. And so just an impressive stretch gets more and more impressive. They've won 31 of their last 36 games now. Boy, the turnaround since June 24th has been incredible.
Real quick, it's not going to stop, one would assume, anytime soon. The next two series at home versus the Athletics and at the Toronto Blue Jays.
We'll have to talk about this coming up, but did you also see the end of the Cubs game? I ended up winning that bet yesterday.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, good for you.
Unbelievable. We got to step aside here on Money Moves. We're just getting started. When we return, the maestro Mike Palm is going to join us in studio for a full half hour. If you missed Bet Bash, the FOMO is probably going to continue after that conversation. Plus, he's got thoughts on the recent odds movement for NL MVP. Stick around.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on Money Move, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And how about this? The Circus Survivor documentary heating up. This week's episode called Survival Mode. Week 10 arrives like a wrecking ball, a massive wave of eliminations tearing through the field. And the players who thought they had it all figured out, suddenly not so much. Thanksgiving's on the horizon, and the wrong call won't just cost the contestants a game. It'll cost them everything. 18.7 mil on the line. Watch the next episode coming up next Wednesday at 9 Eastern right here on VSiN. Plus, if you need to play a little catch up, all the episodes are streaming on YouTube after their release. Just search VSiN Live. And speaking of Circa Survivor, the entries this week getting a nice bump with Bet Bash here at Circa. Somebody who is hosting a panel and very involved in the Bet Bash festivities, Mike Palm, joining us in studio for the next half hour, VP of Operations here at Circa Golden Gate and the D. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hello, Stormy. Hello, John. Hosted a panel. No right. More hosting. It's not. I'm not doing it right now.
Apologies.
Not in the future.
Correct.
Not in the future?
Well, not this week in particular, and I can't.
Who's to say?
I don't know if there's a market on Kalshi, whether I'll do it next year. But I ran it down here because they're having an interesting discussion about the legality of prediction markets, and they have a lawyer for Kalshi
The
panel and a lawyer for the tribes in California on the panel. So it was an interesting discussion.
You were not in the panel that I saw, which was the ethics of touting, I believe, that was going on right now?
I was there.
Yeah.
I had to step out to do an interview in Iowa, but I was there for the Fezzik panel.
Okay.
A lot of discussion on Todd Wishnev there. But back to the point, I guess. I had a panel, not really a panel, it was just me, yesterday at 10 a.m. And it was kind of my fault, but the name of it was How to Run a Casino. I don't presume to tell anybody how to do that, but it was for folks to come in and ask questions about it. And so I gave like a 10-minute background of my story and then opened it up to the audience. I thought they asked some great questions about the relationship between the customer and the casino, and they asked a good question about President Trump's visit and how that all came about and what the challenges were. And so I thought it was good. Derek was there for the whole panel, which lasted an hour, and I thought it was good. These panels are good. Mm-hmm. Vinny Maiulo's going in the Hall of Fame tonight.
Yeah.
I'll MC the event. This is the fourth year of induction. So Vinny had a fireside chat with Sammy Panionovich. So it's been good. It's been a lot of good. Over 800 people this year. It just keeps growing every year, Bet Bash.
It's been loaded. I feel like people have just been running around all over the place. You see them all with the, like, convention
lanyards.
Tag on, lanyard, exactly. Anything in particular, though, that you were really excited about or that you learned or found interesting and new?
Well, this panel I just came from, I wanted to hear the arguments, and particularly from the Kelce lawyer, right? What her arguments were, and this is going to have to get to the Supreme Court. And when is it going to get there? Some say 28, some say second or third quarter next year. I don't know. But you're going to have, you know, 8 of the 11 federal circuit courts are hearing some version of these cases, whether, you know, from all the different states that are suing the prediction companies. So when you get these contradictory rulings in these different circuits, it has to get to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court doesn't have to hear cases, but why wouldn't they? This has become of real national interest, and these markets are so large. So, and part of it was sort of handicapping how the Supreme Court would rule that discussion. And, you know, Justice Gorsuch has been all for tribal rights. So I think, you know, the tribes have a better chance of winning. I'm not saying the states don't, but the tribes, I think, definitely. I don't see them losing. I do think that the states will win the argument that they have the right to regulate gaming within their state borders.
So if they lose, what would that mean in general? Like, they're not just going to disappear, because prediction markets have been around since
before
this
explosion. Won't be able to offer gambling content, right?
Okay.
That's one of the exclusions. You can't bet on war. Mm-hmm. You can't bet on assassinations, right? Things that are of negative. And one of the things that Dodd-Frank laid out was gaming shouldn't be a part of these, right? And some of these district courts, in allowing them to continue to operate, ignored that gaming provision and just said, yes, the CFTC has the ability to regulate. But at some point, somebody's going to have to, you know, other courts rule, no, the CFTC is wrong. This is gaming, right? It's clearly. What's the public interest in whether Kayla McBride hits three threes tonight, right? There's no public interest or economic impact to it. Obviously, I'm biased. I have a side here. I simply asked the lawyer from Kelce, Valenti is her name, you know, you seem to have such faith that the CFTC can regulate this massive industry now that with the gaming's involved. Can you tell me about the staffing and funding of the CFTC compared to the SEC?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, of course, she said, I get your point.
Yeah.
And I don't think she wants to say it's an eighth of the size,
right?
She says, I get your point, but the argument's not whether the CFTC is being run correctly, it's whether they have authority. But so it was an interesting argument. The touting thing,
it became a little bit of a pissing match.
Yeah, I know. It always comes down to me to the question of if you're successful at what you're doing, why do you need to siphon money off other bettors?
Mm-hmm.
That's always my standpoint. And you know, Steve Fezzik said, because I can make money doing it. Well, why aren't you selling drugs? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you can make a lot of money doing that, too.
I thought one of the interesting questions about the touting thing that I've just always wondered is, like, the point of buying picks is, you know, you want the information of the person you're buying picks from, and if you're not getting the same number as the person you're buying picks from, you know, what is the point?
Well, that became a lot of the argument.
Yeah.
You know, and Steve Fezzik brought up Todd Wishnev, who had a really good year betting in-game totals in college basketball. Some sides, but mostly totals. And he doesn't charge, right? It's his discourse. I got on it, and I said, Steve, I'm on it. It's really hard, because it's in-game, to get his number. College basketball has a million possessions.
Yeah.
It's just going back. I said, now, if he gives out a bet at a commercial break, I can get that number. I bet it. He goes, well, what if it's 1 point worse? I said, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a tremendous investment in my time to find the 10% or 8% of Todd's plays that I can actually get the same number. And I refuse, if I want to believe in that his theory or information is correct, to get a worse number.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but if he's hitting at 65%, won't you still be successful if you get it 1 point worse? I said, I don't know that.
Right.
And I don't emotionally want to take a worse number and have him win and I lose it. In any case, I will feel stupid for having wasted all that time.
Yeah.
This is really interesting, and I think good for our audience that, like, listening at home or in your car, whatever it is, to get ahead for next year if you want to come out here for Bet Bash, because there's all these different types of discussions, from as simple as sports betting 101 to some of the more high level,
on taxes and how you deal with taxes. I mean, it's all different kind of topics. It's really well done, I think, right? And for us, it's great because here's a week in August where it's 117 outside every day, And this really helps fill up and give energy to our property.
Yeah, and it's sports stuff, too. I mean, I think Dinsick did a tennis panel, correct?
There's like college football preview.
Chris Felica had a college football preview panel. There was NFL panels.
Because I know a lot of people might go like, okay, I'm not a bettor that's going to deal with taxes. Like, who cares about that? Mm-hmm. But there's sports-specific panels as well that will help you out.
Really good and fun, and you get to be around a lot of like-minded people, too, which is great. Last couple minutes for this segment. I know we have a whole other segment with you. We were right before the break, we were talking a little bit of baseball, and I mentioned to JVT, I can't believe that I ended up winning my Cubs bet yesterday, the way that Dylan Cease was absolutely dealing. They end up finding a way and coming back again, another walk-off win for the Cubs. How do they keep doing this?
Well, you know, I'd say they're scoring a lot of runs. Yesterday they got three, but it was enough. But they kept in the game. They stayed in the game, having not scored for the first eight innings, and then they had They had the opportunity in the ninth, and they executed it. I think I believe the Cubs were the biggest winner at the trade deadline. They had so much that they had to fill, and to go out there and get two really quality starters. Yep. I don't think they gave up a lot. Somehow they were able to get rid of Tyone. I think they did a really good job. Now, you still have to beat the Brewers. But, I mean, the Brewers got blocked by the Dodgers. When you come down to it, only the Dodgers and the Brewers made legitimate offers to the Tigers. Everybody else is just fluff nonsense and say they went after Skubal, but they didn't. I really like what the Cubs did. I wanted to ask you, JVT, because I was ready to make a future on another team. But then I read more about their plan. I liked what the Phillies did. I'm a big Arise guy. Nobody wants to pay this guy because he doesn't hit home runs. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You hit 330. You get on base. You're decent second baseman. And then I thought their bullpen acquisitions were really sort of underreported or undervalued. But then this plan of this merry-go-round with the defense. I just can't get on this Stott to third, Bohm to first, and playing Harper in the outfield. I was ready to take a future, and then I just said, I can't trust how they're going to be defensively, especially Harper in the outfield.
That was going to be the big question of Harper going out there and how that was going to work out for him, too. So I'm with you. I think in general, like, the pitching is going to be good enough. And you've got guys on the front that are going to go deep. So even if you don't trust the bullpen entirely, it's going to be, I think, pretty strong that you're not going to ask much of them. But you could see a scenario in some of these series where just the smallest thing makes a difference, that the defense, if it's not good enough. Because there's a lot of good defensive teams in the National League, for sure.
The Cubs being one of them. Cubs are the best defensive team.
Yeah. With ECA, and they're out there, too, which we have to ask you about. We're up against it, but
I have a really strong thoughts on that. I think about this every day.
Really?
He's now the favorite.
Yep. Well, what did we say last week, right?
Like, and if you want Ohtani, wait.
Yep, just wait, because he's going to be a plus price.
Yep. Yeah, PCA currently -120 favorite. Shohei at even money. But that's a great note. Will the real NL MVP please stand up? We can discuss that a little bit more when we come back. I also know you have a play you love in Golden State and Dallas when it comes to WNBA.
Did I say love? Was the word love anywhere in the text?
It seems. Listen.
No. Well, sorry, somebody doesn't like it when you put words in their mouth.
I've got to tease it. We can talk about this on the other side,
too. What a tout. Talk about touts. Oh, this is his Battlestar Galactica play of the century.
You should have heard the preview for the show that he did yesterday about the Steelers. It was so wrong. What will be more of this when we return.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tony, Jonathan, Von Tobel, Mike Palm sticking around for a second segment. VP of Operations here at Circa Golden Gate at the D. Also host of Palm Saturdays on 104.3 The Score. Bet on Chicago as well. Speaking of Chicago and the Cubs, we left off last segment talking a little NL MVP. PCA, the new favorite. Where do you sit on it?
Should I keep waiting to bet Ohtani? How long should I wait?
I mean, I feel like yes, right? Because we know how these markets work. And the market, like, whenever you're a hot flavor of the month, I feel like the market really steers into it. I keep going back to, I always flip the names, Jackson Merrill, the year that he was up for Rookie of the Year with Paul Skenes. And he got up to -1,000 over Skenes. And I just think that PCA, with the way he's hitting like 400 so far here in this month. And I know it's only 7 days, but... And if the Dodgers are going to continue to middle around, if this team gets hot, like, he's going to, I think, really start to rise.
You look at their offensive stats, yeah. They're like identical, John.
Yeah.
Right down the line. Right now, PCA has the stolen base advantage because Shohei, during his you could bet under a half a stolen base every time Shohei started on the mound.
Yeah.
Just cash it because they were never going to risk him trying to steal a base when he was on the mound.
Yep.
But then you make this argument. PCA, you know, his defensive war in center field. I still argue outfielders are overrated because they don't get errors they should get.
Yeah.
Like, if they misplay a ball and doesn't hit their glove, it's a double.
Yeah.
That's an error to me, though. But
sure.
It never gets counted as that. PCA has four errors, but there's, like, six other misplayed balls. I'm not saying he's not a great defense, but he had a stretch there where he wasn't good in center field. Mm-hmm. What is the value of the eight wins and the 82 innings, 8-2, mm-hmm. and the 1.79 ERA? Everybody, if these starts were in August and September, this wouldn't be a question, and he'd still be minus 800. And my friend David Haw, who hosts on The Score, has the flagship show in the morning, said to me this morning, but he didn't. He started in April and May. I said, so how much more are the wins in April and May?
Weighted.
How yeah. much are they less than the wins in September? Don't they all count equally? But he didn't. I said, and if PCA had made five starts as a pitcher, he would be, I mean,
yep.
Are we Wayne really that the defensive center field he's played, it was worth more than a pitcher getting eight wins with a 1.79? I don't think you can make that argument. I think the market's wrong. I just think the market's wrong. Now it's my job to get the best number, right?
Yeah.
That's our job now if we believe that to get. And truth be told, if you've listened to this station for years, I was on the front line of the Shohei deniers.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember.
Saying he never pitches against good teams.
Yeah.
They only let him pitch on Tuesday or Wednesday night against Kansas City, who was playing like a Triple-A team out there, right? And he didn't pitch the final day when Seattle was right in the wild card. And I made that famous tweet, Mitch Haniger deserves the award more than him. Salvi Perez caught every day and had 48. I was making all these arguments. I've come full circle on that now.
Yeah.
What he's doing is just, you can't match it. Is there fatigue of the voters? I don't know. PCA, if you took PCA off the Cubs, are you going to say they're absolutely not a playoff team? I don't know if you can say that.
Right.
I mean, you're a wild card one or you're a wild card three? What is the real advantage of that to what Shohei gives you as a one or a two seed? There's also value in those things. So I just think the market's wrong. I think Shohei should still be minus $2 or higher in this market.
Well, and what I found funny was that we saw the market move on a day that both
two
Shohei
runs.
And
yeah,
yeah,
right.
They both are head-to-head
because the Cubs
the same
won.
Day.
Because
yeah.
they
Correct.
Won, the hit, right?
Ridiculous.
I mean, I think these awards, Stormy and I talk about it all the time. I think awards markets, for the most part, are pretty wrong with the way they move back and forth. And
well, the volatility is wrong.
Yes, exactly. Like, there's no reason, and I don't think I would venture a guess, that there is not a voter out there that watched that series between Chicago and L.A. and was like, all right, we're moving these guys back and forth like the entire time. They're taking everything in as a whole, and I think most voters are going to view it like you do. They will see the entirety of the resume for Shohei Ohtani.
If you
and look
forget,
at it.
Forget about anything prior to this year.
Yeah.
And if you were, if every Major League Baseball team was drafting a new team and got the first pick, how many are taking PCA over Shohei to start your team?
Right. None.
None. Zero. And that could just be based off this year.
Right. Well, and to your point, I think even better, like if I were to, you know, men in black, erase the memories of all of these mm-hmm. voters at the end of the season
yep.
and present the resumes on sheets of paper mm-hmm. and they don't know when those starts come or whatever
yep.
it is, it would be Shohei Ohtani.
Let's stick with baseball. Sorry, Stormy, because I know you're dying to get to the greatest WNBA player of all time.
I was going to ask you about post-trade deadline stuff, but okay.
John, I was busy with Bet Bash, and so I just went back and was watching highlights when I got home because I want to stay up to date on what's going on. Like, we need to start keeping stats on third base coaches
yep.
in baseball. It is incredible how many bad sends you see almost every day. I mean, not out on a bang-bang play,
yeah.
out by 12 feet.
Yep.
Even terrible throws, they still have the catcher has time to recover if they can catch it and tag him out. We need to start handicapping. This has to be part of our handicap. Maybe there is, and if I'm wrong and we don't know, please respond to the show or respond to us and tell us where we can get these stats. But it should be part of our handicap.
And by observation alone, I have no evidence to back this up.
Yeah.
They seem to be wearing black and white a lot. Like, I watch the White Sox, and I'm like, it seems like every game, I'm like, why are we sending him? He's out by a mile every time.
Real quick, last baseball thing. Do you have any other post-trade deadline thoughts you want to get out there?
So I have done nothing to monetize my White Sox 25-1 ticket, but I'm getting pretty convinced that the Tigers is the way to do this here.
Okay.
Now, a friend of mine who's a very sharp bettor said, bet the Tigers to make the playoffs at 3-1. You can win both
mm-hmm.
if you believe that. I'm just not in on the Guardians, and I've never been in on the Twins, right? So, but I think the Tigers, even post-trading Skubal, pose the biggest threat to the White Sox in this division. So at some point this weekend, I'll probably have to get down on it. Meanwhile, I did bet the Red Sox at 15-1 to win the World Series. I just can't. I know the train's gone by. They're going to sweep the A's this weekend. Yep. Like, it's just 26-3. Are you kidding me? It's unbelievable. They're playing with such confidence. Yep. And as much as you can say momentum is as good as your starting pitcher each day, this team is just playing so well.
They're the best. It's the best pitching staff in baseball right now. Yep. I don't think there's really any question about it. As we just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, their two trade deadline acquisitions are on the injured list, so they haven't even really seen them at all in any way, shape, or form. And I think that when you've looked at the way that they have been playing, too, I don't think that this pitching staff is like this far away from the Dodgers, I should say, if you make it into a World Series where they're unbeatable. So I'm with you. I think that you can play them now to win the American League or play them to win the World Series.
Their bullpen numbers are insane.
Yeah, you're still north of 5-1. You can get close to 6-1 on the American League, and like you said, 15-1 on because I don't think they're invincible, the Dodgers. Now, a lot of it will have to do with, you know, the same day that Skubal made his first start, Glasnow and Snell were making rehab starts, right, in the minors. So that's, again, what are the Dodgers going to look like in October as opposed to what they look like right now?
Real quick, do you think Sonny Gray can win Cy Young? He's 35-1. Cease Boy, minus 115, Schlittler's minus 105, Rasmussen is 25-1.
Schlittler keeps having these really bad starts.
Yeah.
Like, you have a right to have a start where you give up a couple runs, right. But I mean, bad starts where you can't get out of the fourth inning.
Yeah.
So I think it's more wide open, and maybe. To me, Cease has been really good. I never liked Cease because a lot of walks, he takes a lot of pitches. He's probably been the more reliable pitcher. But Gray, I mean, you know, he gets in these grooves in these markets where he's ignored. When he doesn't have all this pressure on him, he pitches really well. When he's expected to be the guy that carries you, he doesn't do as well.
My narrative thought was, if you go back to when they lost that series to the Toronto Blue Jays, they got swept. It was June 19th, and he comes out and he says that we suck. This is like we're a bad team. And they go on this run, and he's been a really big part of it. I wonder how much credit they'll give him because he's been great, man. Again, the other night, what did he give, like 6 and 8 strikeouts? He's been great.
Yeah, and then the game that was 2-0 the whole way, and then they ended up being 4-0.
Okay, so yesterday in the W, you did get a comeback win by the Aces.
What a miracle.
I know you love that play.
24-0 run. They were down 42-22, and in the third quarter now, this was halfway through the second quarter, I look on my phone because we were at the Hall of Fame dinner last night. I look on my phone, now they're 3 minutes into the third quarter. Indiana still has 42, and now they've scored 24 in a row.
It's good when the pedestal game actually delivers, and that was pretty awesome.
Okay, but have you looked at the Aces' schedule? I mean, it's ludicrous, this road trip. So they go and beat the Dream, pound the Dream the other night, then come to Indiana and beat the Fever. Now Saturday they go to Minnesota and Sunday New York.
Yeah.
I mean, what a death trip for them. So far, so good. I mean, they lost the buzzer beater to open it in Chicago last Saturday on the national game on CBS. So we got lucky there. There's something wrong with the Wings. You saw Paige Packer very curt in her answers. They were up 4 with 18 seconds left and blew the game against Atlanta coming out of the break. That was the game Angel and Paige bet on. But the WNBA said, it's just a joke for our players to bet. And then they blow a 20-point lead. They blow a 20-point lead. And, look, it was pretty clear at the All-Star break that Paige and AZ aren't together anymore, right? Paul Howard asked a great question when we talked about the draft. You know, and Dallas wanted to pair them together again, and she was not the top choice, right? Betts was the favorite, and she was thought she was going fourth, especially off that awful Final Four, and she got drafted first, and I said, we don't understand the complexities of these relationships. You don't have NBA teams where two guys are screwing each other, right? Now, this team is falling apart. It's clear they're not together anymore, right? What's the effect there? Everybody's blaming now the coach. Remember, they hired this guy that coached in South Florida for 2 decades, but never did anything really there. People have always sort of blamed his kind of attitude toward professional women. I think there's a lot of pressure on Dallas right now. They're not a particularly good defensive team. And Golden State gives you a good defensive effort every night out. And I think the wrong team's favorite here. I had Golden State a 2-point road favorite. I took +1.5. I don't love the play. I just think there's an advantage spot here.
What? You're up.
I'm shutting down.
What?
You can't do that.
I don't want to oversell. I want to tell people the reality. They don't want. I used to post the tickets, and they said don't post the amounts of the tickets. People, not. So I tried to give them an indication of how strong you are on the play by the amount you bet.
Mm-hmm. No, appreciate the breakdown as always.
Congratulations to you. This career mile. I saw everybody in this space celebrating your big promotion at ESPN. So well deserved, Stormy.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
We are number 5.
We gotta step aside here. We're going to David Copperfield Mike out of here. Will Hill's going to appear in that seat next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is here, ladies and gentlemen, and just like the players, you got to get your reps in before week one. The Sharp Plays has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, and combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com, or you can scan the QR code on your screen if you're watching on the VSiN Watch app or YouTube TV. Use the code VSIN50, VSIN50, for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100 as well. That's jointhesharps.com, promo code VSIN50. And I told you it would be like magic. Abracadabra, Mike Palm disappears, and Will Hill appears in his stead here as we welcome you back here to Money Moves. VSIN, obviously host, contributor, writer over at Fox Sports, doing all the things. But I wanted to point this out to you, Will. Colin Murphy tweeted in this morning that we should be calling Will Hill Will Kill because of those guns.
I know, I've gotten a lot of attention the last couple days for whatever reason, but good to be with you guys. You can't avoid me forever. You ditched me the other day, Naked City Wings. That's everybody's right. Down there. You don't show up.
Maybe both of you.
I
was there, but yeah, I left early.
Exactly. Yeah. You get a pass, but
I've been getting over a sickness, and my husband is really sick, and so I didn't think that it would be good to be around like a bunch of people in a group. Although I heard you tried to bring your kids to a bar.
Kids got kicked out of their first bar. What kind of bar doesn't allow 3-year-olds in? I mean, come on. I was told that, you know what, bring your family, bring your kids, it'll be fine. It was not fine. As soon as they walked in.
You're going to try to bring your kids to Circa, too? Is that next? Is this Wisconsin?
I mean, come on now.
We had to go to, like, the next door pizza place. They're like, you can go there and have your pizza, but absolutely not under no circumstances. So we, kicked out of their first bar. No big deal.
Let's talk about your Yankees first and foremost, because you are very even-keeled, right? You're very low in terms of your temperature when it comes to the Yankees. You view things perfectly. You never get too high. You never get too low. How are we feeling post-trade deadline?
I actually think
I
am.
Absolutely nothing at the trade deadline.
I actually think I am. Garcia's a good bat. Yeah. That's a good addition. He's got a little Robbie Cano in him. Not quite as good, but good contact. You know, lefty. They need all the offense they can get without Judge. Would have liked another reliever. I know a lot of Yankee fans wanted the catcher. You can't have everything, and a lot of it is, you know what, if Judge comes back, we'll be fine. If he doesn't, we're not. We talked about this a lot before the deadline. There weren't that many sellers, so you could sit here and say, well, get this guy, get that guy. There's like 5 or 6 teams that are selling, maybe 7, so it's not like there was a lot to choose from. A lot of people wanted Jeffers, the catcher from Minnesota. Minnesota was right there for a playoff spot, so, you know, Goodman from the Rockies would have cost a lot. I think they had B-minus, C-plus deadline, would have liked another arm, but look, it's all going to come down to Judge and when and if he comes back.
Well, real quick, so there is some silver lining too, right? It's Judge yesterday or the day before tells the media at the park, I am coming back sooner rather than later. So we'll see if that happens. And was it Lombard, right? Is that the kid that called up? Did Homer, I believe.
Yeah, making the plays at shortstop, right? which it helps, you know, turning those double plays, not extending those innings. He's looked good. So Lombard, Garcia, it looks like a different team than it did, you know, week 10 days ago. Yeah.
Judge, by the way, he was cleared for light activity, got re-imaging done on Tuesday, running upper body resistance exercises, still not doing baseball activities yet, but that obviously is the next stage of this as we go here. You do like the Yankees today as well?
I do. Molly going for the Braves, came over from the Giants. He's mediocre, you know, low velocity, doesn't have a lot in terms of, swing and miss or chases or anything like that. Yankees are throwing the much better pitcher with Max Fried. So home, new look lineup, better pitcher. It was $1.35 when I left the hotel. Wouldn't be surprised if that took a little money and went up without having looked at the line in the last, you know, 10, 20 minutes or so. But Yankees, to me, seem playable and seem pretty cheap at that price.
All right, anything else, or was it just New York today?
Just that for today. I got some futures and some win totals. Yeah. Red Sox never seem to lose baseball games, which is amazing. That game last night was awesome.
Crazy.
I know between that and the Hall of Fame game, we got an interesting little Thursday night, but that was about as good a regular season game as you're going to see.
Yeah, we were just talking about this with Mike. I did this on Monday show or Tuesday, one of the days that you weren't here. But I do think that with the trade deadline acquisitions, if you're talking about post-trade deadline, Red Sox seem to be a team that are worth buying on.
And I've talked about them. You know, I talked about them. They were 25-1 to win the American League. Either coming in or going out of the break. And here they are. Those numbers have obviously plummeted. I'm not sure they've lost a game since then. But I'm staying at Caesars. I was just at Caesars. Cubs over the Red Sox is 100-1, exact a World Series. Vice versa, Red Sox over the Cubs in the World Series, 150-1. I don't know that the Cubs are dead in that division. I mean, the Red Sox, the way they keep climbing, they're due to cool off at some point. But if those teams could ever win the division, I think regardless, those are good numbers. When you look at the exact, there's Cubs and Red Sox World Series, 100-1 or 150-1, maybe you know, play a whatever quarter union on each. But I think those are teams both worth buying on.
Yeah, I saw that write-up you did for Fox Sports just talking about the Cubs flat out, even not even just in the exact market, looking at that angle. But you like the Cubs just straight out World Series with some of the things that they've done.
I do. I mean, good lineup, good pitching. That was a miraculous win they had yesterday, down to their last strike, down 2 runs. So.
Dude, I bet the Cubs yesterday. I was telling him, I thought it was dead in the water. I don't know how
it was. It was until it wasn't. It's nice. You got to remember those when you get a bad beat. But good offense, good defense, and they've got some pitchers that play into the pitching. Holmes keeps the ball on the ground, 95th percentile in ground balls. Gausman has been a little bit unlucky, but he doesn't walk people, puts the ball in play. Zephyr Hahn, the reliever from the Angels. Braxton Garrett's a nice little lottery ticket from the Marlins. I don't know. They'll probably use him more of a reliever, but they really revamped the pitching staff. At the deadline, between Peterson, who's due for some positive regression, came over for the Mets, and the guys they got at the deadline, I mean, I don't know that they catch the Brewers, but 7 games against them between now and September 9th, they're in that 15-18-1 range to win the whole thing. I know everyone thinks the Dodgers completely unbeatable, but let's not forget, last year it took a series of miracles for them them to win against the Blue Jays. And a couple years ago against the Padres, they're down 2-1 on the road with a chance to be limited. So I know they got Schuble. Everyone's, you know, they're unbeatable. Nobody's unbeatable in a 5-game sample, and they've, you know, shown some cracks recently.
All right, so speaking of the Angels, the thing that I liked about your article is we talk so much about these teams that buy at the trade deadline, but some of these teams that don't have anything left are also teams that you can bet on in some form or fashion. We're going to see Soriano's debut today for the Blue Jays, one of the many pieces they sold off. I would assume you could buy on some pretty bad news for the Angels.
Yeah, no Joe Adell, no Soriano, both shipped out. Basically shipped out, you know, most of their bullpen, and you could say it's baked into the number. Maybe it is. I'm not sure how you bake all of that into a number here, and they did win yesterday, and some of those guys out of the bullpen, Phillips, and some of those guys actually look pretty good closing out Baltimore yesterday. But to me, Angels under, I think we're looking at like 62.5, 63.5. Shop around, because you will get some variance in these numbers more than you might think. But Angels under is a play for me. Yeah.
Another win total under you're looking at live, the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, 76.5. And look, they've been a feel-good story. They've played well, but a lot of that's based on their lineup. James Wood, well, he's out. He's got an oblique. He's on the IL. Garcia Jr. traded to the Yankees. Their bullpen is horrendous. So a team that's built around their offense that's missing a lot of their offense, either, you know, due to trades or the IL, I think it might be a rough last couple of months here for the Nats, who here's the other thing, too. These bad pitching staffs, bad bullpens, they don't survive August, September. They just get worn down in the heat and just, you know, the innings, everything adds up. And I don't like backing these teams with bad bullpens this late in the year. I think they could be rough last couple months here.
All right, we're getting closer to football season. We've had a couple of football futures. Have you added anything in the NFL over the last couple of days? Anything percolating in that brain?
I don't think so. We've talked about the Vikings, talked about the Falcons. I laid some juice on Arizona under. I know Carson Beck looked good last night. And where the hell was that when I had my 150-1 on them to win it all? Where was that in January as he's throwing dimes all over the field? That aside, I mean, look at the start of the schedule. I'm sure we could pull it up in a minute. Yeah. It's rough. I know they got a game against the Giants in Week 4. If you don't win that, look, it's the NFL. Anyone can win any of these games. Laying the juice for 4.5. I don't want to go under 3.5 at plus money. It's just, you know, it's the NFL. So many games are close. You can luck into 4 wins. Getting to 5 with that schedule is going to be really, really tough. So I think Arizona's a play there under 4.5 and just swallow the juice. I think -$1.45, -$1.50, I think is well worth it when you look at that schedule. At Chargers, Seahawks, at 49ers. All right, at the Giants, you better win that one, because Lions, Rams, Broncos, Cowboys, at Seattle, Rams, at Chiefs. I mean, when does it slow down?
Yeah,
that is a
real
brutal schedule.
It's very similar to, when we were talking about the Raiders, and it's like, when do you get Fernando Mendoza in there? It feels kind of similar to that ilk when it comes to, okay, Carson Beck, if you're going to get your opportunity, where are we going to throw him in?
Yeah, I keep thinking, and this isn't necessarily directly opposed to what you're thinking, because both of us can be right. I kind of feel like they're thought to be this abhorrent team where the power ratings maybe gotten a little too far. Like,
they weren't awful last year. They dropped a pass against the 49ers. They were 2-0 and dropped a pass that would have put them at 3-0. Then they lost a bunch of close games. I think the Colts, Packers, and then they just got hurt. So everything got off the rails. That being said, man.
Now, my theory is like betting them ATS. Like,
okay.
Yeah, you might be 10.5, 11 against the Chargers in Week 1. Those sort of things. I think we've gotten a little too far in that regard.
I would agree with that.
So I know you are hosting VSiN Primetime tonight with Matt Eumanns. What else do you have on the agenda before you head home?
that's about it. Maybe I'll go upstairs, see some of the guys for Bet Bash. It's been cool to just, yeah, you know, come out here and see people you only know through Twitter, Vinny Magliulo, and just, you know, a bunch of Cleve TA people you only know, again, through online and just to bump into people. It's amazing. Gambling Twitter is such, like, a hateful, contentious place at times. And then you bump into people in real life.
And everyone's,
like,
so nice.
Everyone's so nice.
Because
Twitter is not real life.
Well, because what happens is they realize that you're your size. And they're like, I probably can't keep talking to him like this.
Honestly, like, I brought it up earlier in the show. I tell people all the time, the Zoom screen when you host shows remotely does not do you justice to actually, like, the, it cuts you off too soon on the shoulders. That's all I'm saying.
Somebody was saying Jeff Schwartz and I arm wrestling and, you know, making lines.
Go.
Absolutely not. You can keep, that's going to stay hypothetical. I like having both my forearms. No, thank you.
Will Hill, everybody. If you haven't already, make sure you download the Shoulda Bet More podcast. And then coming up tonight, VSiN primetime right here on VSiN, 4 to 8 Pacific, 7 to 11 Eastern with Matt Eumanns. Don't miss it. We'll be right back kicking off hour 2 of Money Moves after this.